Welcome to the Minivate Gang Podcast, episode 338. I am Steve Borsch, and I'm on with Tim Elliott.
Good morning.
Graham Thickens.
Hey, another beautiful November weekend.
And Phil Wilson.
I'd just like to say howdy.
Say hi to El Nino. That's why we've got such great weather.
Howdy.
Yeah.
How are you?
Yeah. Well, we've actually been looking at buying.
Welcome from the front porch. How are you?
Let's head down to Mayberry.
Hey, okay. Before we do anything, we do have to acknowledge the tragedy that's happened in Paris.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're looking at the aftermath of, I believe the latest tally is 127 people killed and multiple terrorist attacks in Paris. So
with 90 in critical condition. So that death toll will probably increase.
Yeah.
And of course.
And I read that they have identified some Americans who were injured, but I don't know how many.
Well, you would think that there would be more because the concert was an American band. Mm-hmm. And apparently there were a lot of Americans in attendance. The band itself.
Yeah, what was the concert?
It was some heavy metal band.
Eagles of Death Metal. Never heard of them.
From California.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. You're not into death metal?
Safe.
You don't listen to death metal, Graham?
No,
come on. What's
no, it's not on my agenda.
All right.
Yeah, not in my faves.
Yeah. What's a terrible deal?
Just out of curiosity, where did you guys get most of your news from that last night?
Yesterday? Well, first off, we're losing you through your connection again. But we started watching last night on CNN.
Yep.
And, even though they were looping the same video over and over and over again, they were updating things. And then we would watch something else for a while, and then we would come back to it and get periodic updates. Because, the news just keep the information just keeps flowing. Mm-hmm. And I thought what was interesting was the amount of things that were kickstarted by social media, like the Gatwick Airport, where they found something in Gatwick Airport that actually came to Reuters through a tweet. And,
really?
So, social media has really changed the
landscape of news and journalism. Yeah,
absolutely.
I was kind of disappointed with the CNN coverage early because Wolf Blitzer's regular show was on. And of course, they bridged right into it. And this seemed to overhype everything. So I switched to Fox.
Oh, sorry.
And Fox, interestingly enough, was rebroadcasting Sky coverage. So I just went to the new Apple TV, which I have the Sky News app.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Turned on Sky Live and watched the coverage there, which I found to be quite good, measured, and then that led me to the France 24 coverage, which I have through my Roku, and they, I got the. An app that gives me live coverage there. And
I didn't even think about going to Sky News. That was good. Yeah.
The Sky was good. I think that France 24 was probably the best coverage.
En français?
No, in English. They have an English channel.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yep. All right.
It's interesting how social media has really, made the world much smaller, but it also kind of, reflects the impact that when things happen in France, they're not just happening over there. I mean, they're happening around the world.
Right,
and it's interesting. So,
well, didn't you feel that way about the tsunami in Japan?
Yes.
I mean, I felt like, I was seeing all this stuff happening in near real time and felt like I was there with people. So anyway, speaking of local,
And we were. So yeah, let's talk about what's going on around here. Yeah,
we have a few Minnesota stories. Probably the biggest one is this layoff of 30 workers at Cove 42. I mean, it's not a huge number.
No, I was wondering though, is the announcement more indicative of a change in company culture?
It looks like it. I was really taken aback by the quote here.
If I was
the PR professional that's helping this guy out, I would really give this guy, an eye opener because he looks like a dick.
I was just going to say this.
Well,
And what a dick. The quote is, let's get the wrong people off the bus. Okay, so does that open that company up to liability for wrongful termination or defamation when you happen to be one of the 30 that get laid off and the reason you're laid off is because you're the wrong person?
Yeah, you're somebody that isn't excited and came there for the free beer.
Yeah.
Is what it says in the article.
Which they don't offer.
Yeah. So it says there were a set of people who didn't fit the plan or didn't have the right skill set or didn't have the right attitude. I mean, what?
Yeah, that seems a little revelatory for an announcement.
Yeah.
I would agree with you. Very high on the dick meter there.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was my impression. Yeah.
Apparently, Kathy Grayson got direct access to him, and it wasn't filtered through a PR person.
Oh, okay.
And there
that won't happen. That shouldn't happen again. I'll tell you that.
No.
Yeah.
It's like this guy went to the Donald Trump School of Public Speaking.
Yeah,
but you know, it's always that way, especially when you have new leadership. You come in and you do an assessment of all the people that you have, and you say, there's a set of people. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you don't say that the wrong people off the bus. I mean, come on, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
So,
well, Graham, I think that was a good insight, is that she had direct access to him because, you know, otherwise, because there was no filter on what he said.
Well, the guy needs to be media trained, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You know, and a journalist.
That and or bitch slapped, one of the two. So.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, she's not going to filter it. She's going to report it just the way he said it, and she did.
Yeah. She does a good job. I like her.
She's
I like
amazing.
Her articles.
She's
had her on forever. We ought to have her on again. So.
Yeah.
She is just back from maternity leave, too. So I was glad to see her returning.
Huh. Excellent.
Yeah, that's
welcome back. We'd like you to go interview this muyak.
Yeah.
Here's your first assignment.
Actually,
she did a couple
of things. He's a fine human being. He sure doesn't know how to handle himself in the media. I don't know. Just my God.
Well, in another story, Julio Ojeda Zapata, he wrote this article about virtual reality becoming a reality in business, entertainment, and the arts. And here's besides his writing style, which I really like, what I like about Julio's take on things is it's positioned as here's something that's going on, but it's accessible to all of us. You know, so it's not like, isn't this new Microsoft Surface table the size of a coffee table cool? Oh, by the way, it's $11,000. You know, who cares? Yeah. Instead,
if you're Adrian Peterson, you do.
But in this particular article, he's talking about, you know, the Google Cardboard goggles, you know, the Samsung VR stuff and all of that. And but what'd you think of it, Tim? I mean, you put this in here. What'd you come away with in terms of virtual reality angle?
And I I like the way he tied it in with what Chuck Olson's doing as well. But have you guys tried this Google Cardboard stuff?
Sure. Only once.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. I haven't done it yet. I should probably pick one up.
Come on over to the office. We've got a couple of them laying about, so you can hop right in, dude.
Well, do you have an Oculus Rift so I can compare?
No, I don't have the Oculus. That should be coming out. The new Oculus is coming out in November, right? Isn't that this group?
Yeah, I want to try the new one. You know, Alex and I went to a video game museum when we were in Italy, in Rome last summer, and it was outstanding. To use the Oculus Rift, but the new one apparently is like three times better.
Mm-hmm.
So Chuck,
I talked with Chuck quite a bit about his new company, Virtual, and he's doing some fun stuff. And he did a presentation at the Twin Cities Film Society, I can't remember the name of the actual organization, but did a presentation there. And so, you know, it's always such a great time. And he's so fun to talk to, and he has a very relaxed way of presenting and has a great sense of humor. So I think the virtual is going to be kind of an interesting company to watch as he continues to do more stuff.
Well, for those listening, this particular article, of course, we'll have a link in the show notes, but there are several videos that Julio embedded in here that are really worth a watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Minnesota in 360 is really good.
Right.
Which is Chuck Olson.
Chuck Olson's thing. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Great.
So, and what is Facebook is doing 360 video now? Wasn't that the case? Didn't I see that somewhere? this week?
Yeah, there's a bunch of, well, there's a bunch of new player technology that is being rolled out and developed that are going to be, you know, browser agnostic. You won't need a plug-in, those sorts of things. And I just haven't paid enough attention to it. You know, Chuck Olson probably knows this stuff. Maybe we should get him on to talk about VR a little bit more.
Oh, I think that would be great. Yeah, Zuckerberg did launch 360 videos on Facebook a couple of days ago. So, yes, they are out there.
Yeah.
But it's a, yeah, it's a great technology and a great, it's just, it puts you in the middle of the action. I mean, if you're, I think the first thing I saw was Chuck did a music video for a band and you know, basically in the crowd and you could just turn around and look up and look down and just, it's just amazing. And then again, that was just a YouTube version. So there was no special player that you needed or anything. The 360 video was amazing.
Well, then there was another TwinCities.com article about local businesses matching Amazon's prices via a web tool. And here's what I thought was really interesting. I was at Guitar Center buying a couple of things, and I had a coupon that they'd sent me for 15% off anything. And they not only price matched, but then they gave me the coupon, which is really unusual because I believe that the interface I bought was below cost. So maybe somebody just goofed up. You know, they weren't supposed to give the coupon on top of a price match. But, you know,
sure,
and they are selective about the price match. But have you guys used this? It's called Price Local. It's a browser plugin.
Yeah, no, I haven't used it, but it's a good idea, actually.
It is.
No. And this is so tell me a little bit. This is a mobile app. Is this
it's a browser plugin. You can use it in mobile mode, but it's basically it takes Amazon products and then sees if there are, you know, what the prices are locally. So you can, you know, buy an item that's listed on Amazon from a local vendor.
So basically the Amazon app in reverse.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
Gotcha.
If you can't wait for Amazon same day delivery, you can jump in the car and drive right over and buy it now.
Yeah. Like you just gotta have that drone right now.
That's right. You can't wait for 2 days.
Because that chick's not gonna be sunbathing on the top of her roof for long. You gotta have a drone now.
Well, she's probably not gonna do it for a few more months again. So
we're a hardy lot. Don't underestimate the people of Minnesota.
Yeah.
But that's interesting too. So that's not a local business. That's just now enabled here.
Tim, do you know?
Yeah, I think they say that this company is based in Ann Arbor, but this is available here in the local market for
right.
us.
Right. Gotcha.
So,
which is, you know, that's going on Amazon Prime Now is going on here in Minnesota. Have you guys used that yet by any chance?
Nope.
We can't use it here, Tim, in lovely Lakeville, but we've had a couple things delivered to the office, and that's kind of fun. I got to tell you, it's kind of neat.
How many hours do they deliver within what time frame?
Less than an hour.
Wow.
And did you get the email, though, Phil, from BuzzFeed Corporate that said, Dear Mr. Wilson, please don't use Amazon. Please stop buying shoes with a company credit card and having it delivered via Amazon Prime.
Can you have like a candy bar brought over, you know?
I don't, you know, only there's certain things that you can get. You can't, you know, because I was doing some shopping and there's only a limit. It's not everything that Amazon sells, obviously. So you get the app and the app opens with your zip code and then you're presented with the items that you can actually have delivered from Amazon now. So it's
like
not
diapers
you want. Yeah. It's a good amount of things. It's just not everything.
Yeah.
So the left nostril inhaler with my state motto on it was not available.
Oh.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah.
Well, so there was a I love these technology feel good stories, and there was this one here at about St. Paul's a company in St. Paul called Tech Dump.
Oh, that gives Bill Donicks again.
No. No, no, no. That gives ex-cons a new lease through work, and it's about a guy that runs this, it owns this company called Tech Dump that recycles old computers and TVs and other electronics, which, by the way, have a lot of gold in them. Mm-hmm. And so there's a great incentive to be able to get that, you know, out of there, and but you also got to get the heavy metals out of there and so forth and recycle them appropriately. Mm-hmm. And his pastor asked him to talk to a guy years ago who had been in prison for a felony and couldn't find work. And so the guy hired him, and the guy, this ex-con, kept coming into his office every day for years saying, "Thank you for giving me a job." And he was like, geez, I wonder if there's more out there. So the guy's gone out and he's hired all these ex-cons to do this work. And, he, you know, they're like incredibly great employees. I mean, he went on and on about it. I thought this was pretty cool because, you know, there are more and more things that that we're getting rid of, you know, electronics wise. And when we bought our first HDTV, I had a 35 inch or 32 inch Sony CRT TV, just this enormous hog. And I took it over to the Hennepin County Waste Recycling facility. And one of the guys says, "Hey, does this thing still work?" And I go, "Yeah." And he goes, "Well, we're going to have to recycle it anyway because nobody wants these anymore."
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Yeah, so, that's the thing. I don't know how many times I've tried to put a TV on Craigslist or something like that. It's like nobody wants those.
Well, plus they weigh like 300 pounds.
I don't know did you get that recycled for free when you did it? That was probably a while ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
They don't do them for free anymore.
Oh, really? Okay.
Well, yeah. Guns are charging you for it now.
No, you can go to the Dakota County Recycle Zone. It's a free drop-off.
Yeah, but we're in Hennepin County, though.
Isn't anymore.
Yeah. And Hennepin County costs money now, huh?
Yeah, and for the taxes we pay, jeez.
You cake eaters.
Oh, gosh. You know.
But no, I just was looking at this, and it doesn't mention if there is a charge at Tech Dump, but I would imagine there's not. But they have two locations. They have one in Golden Valley, and they have one in St. Paul. So I did not realize that. I've just taken some stuff over to Dakota County, but now it's
more
this
options.
This is a very cool program.
Yeah.
I love what was the top three things this guy had learned that Apple computers are hard to dismantle.
Yeah, right. Oh man.
Anywho.
Well, so there's a great article about in Black Enterprise about a guy, Clarence Bethea. I believe that's how you pronounce his last name.
Bethea.
Thanks.
Yeah, great guy.
He founded Upsee. Now, isn't this the one that the former CEO of Best Buy, Brian Dunn, is involved in?
Yep.
The warranty company. Yeah.
I just stuck this in because it's a good background on him, on the founder, but also it looks like they're ready for prime time.
Fabulous.
Yeah, it does, doesn't
yep.
it?
Fabulous.
Yep. You can pick up the apps in the Google Play Store or iTunes.
Which is really, it's really interesting because the appeal for this is that you get the extended warranties without the additional charges tacked on by retailers. So,
yeah,
yep.
I think that's
great. You know, and the other thing too is, and I have not dug into this. And so do you guys know, do they also offer downloads of the manuals for products?
I don't know.
That would be a good side business.
That'd be a good side business. Yes, yeah, you could charge for that.
Well, so we have a receiver downstairs that I ended up giving to a nephew.
A receiver. Explain what a receiver is.
Audio video receiver. Because it only had one HDMI input. So I had gotten rid of that a long time ago. But
that is so 2010.
But anyway. He wanted it, and so I'm looking, and I cannot find the manual anywhere. So I go online. The only place I can find it is at this, you know, like manuals.com or something, and they wanted $19.95 for the manual, for the PDF.
Wow.
And I thought, come on, you assholes. So anyway, so I did a search on Google. For the model number and then put manual and then put file type colon PDF. Yeah. And I found on this obscure website, a link to the manual and I downloaded it and there it was. But anyway, I thought that would be huge because I have every product that I have a PDF of the manual in a Dropbox folder called manuals. And so I've kept everything for old garage door openers and the whole deal.
Thank you for telling us what your files.
Yeah. But anyway, here's the point. That would be a great add-on. Because people would go and use the app just for that, and then they would see the warranty stuff on top of it.
Okay, so isn't that like illegally downloading a song?
Oh God, no, no, you get it. No, it's free. I mean, it's just that the vendor doesn't make it available on their site under support anymore. Now more and more of them are doing that. Yamaha, for example, has an archive of all of their old manuals, but Sony did not.
Is that for your motorcycle? Your Yamaha motorcycle?
Yeah.
Because I know you have one.
No, it's for my CD playing piano.
Nice.
What a kidder. Anyway.
Anywho.
Yeah, so Best Buy has already announced their Black Friday doorbusters.
Well, almost everybody has. Yeah, either true. You know, they've sent them out or they've been leaked by, you know, people in the printing houses.
Or they've said we're not doing Black Friday in some cases.
Which
only REI.
I support those guys.
Well, this is kind of disappointing because Best Buy is open on Thanksgiving again and Target is too.
Yeah.
I don't like that idea. Open on Black Friday is fine. And even if you want to make a swing. In the cold at 4 o'clock in the morning, that I've done that in the past. So that's okay too, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
But $149 for a 49-inch TV? I mean, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, but how many are they going to have per store? One?
Not any.
I don't know. Yeah. They'll probably have five or so. You know?
Yeah. Yep.
All right.
Yeah. So, that's the problem. We all know what this is all about. It's baiting people into the store with very few of these actual things to be available and then hoping they pick up more.
Well, you know, I will tell you, though, that this is now several years ago, but I walked in and my wife and I have been talking about watching Mad Men. And at that point, it was just the start of the fourth season and we hadn't seen the first three seasons. And I walked in on Black Friday at 11 o'clock in the morning and... all the doorbusters were sold out, but there were these gigantic bins, and in one of these bins was the boxed set of Mad Men for seasons 1, 2, and 3, and they were $10 a piece instead of 50. And I thought, oh, okay. So I bought all three of them and gave them to her for Christmas. And of course we watched them all, but anyway, the point is that's one of the bonuses of going to the store on Black Friday is even if the doorbusters are gone, they typically have some pretty good deals on other stuff.
Yep.
So
they do.
It's not just Best Buy, it's other stores as well. So it's, you know, it's worth going out on that day if you're interested in deals. So, Graham, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I didn't hear any snoring, so I figured you were still around.
He was
nodding
off.
Yeah, but I figure you gotta be tired after going to Defrag in Denver this week. So
you
tweeted up a storm. I was following your tweet threads about Defrag, and what was your overall impression of the event?
Well, it was amazing, eclectic as it always is. I mean, an array of speakers that it's just all over the place, but never a dull moment, you know, so much great content, the reason why I wanted to bring it up is, and you can read more about it at defragcon.com, but the best way to read about it is the hashtag, I guess, defragcon. But there were some Minnesota connections that I made there or reconnected with.
I saw Aaron Fulkerson.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, he's really morphed that company, pivoted. And when you start talking about documentation, you know, they're doing some cool things now with help content and making all that stuff that mostly large B2B companies have in the form of PDFs, making it much more available for self-help, which is kind of interesting. And I'll put his slide deck in the show notes. It's on SlideShare, and you're going to want to look at that, Steve. You'll find it fascinating what they're doing. He's really, really changed that company. You know, it started when he was in St. Paul back in about 06. He was located in Lower Town, and his co-founder was out on the West Coast, ex-Microsoft guy. And then Aaron relocated to San Diego in about probably 08, yeah, I think.
Yeah.
And he's been out there since, and grew the company to 40, had to do a major cutback, came on hard times with the open source project they were working on, and they've pivoted and really, really turned it into an interesting new venture. And I think they're now like 60 people and raising money and doing really well. So it was fun to run into him again. And then I also ran into Sarah Cowles from Instratius, which, of course, has been part of Dell now for a good year and a half or more, 2 years now, I think. And so that was kind of fun. She actually lives in St. Paul, and learned that some of the Instratius people have since moved on from Dell. The founding CEO, David Bagley, I knew had just finished his 2-year stint with Dell, and also learned that George Reese, the co-founder CTO of Instratius, is now out on his own. So that was interesting to get that update. And then I ran into a couple of potential speakers for the upcoming Mini Analytics event that I'm going to be delighted to get to Minneapolis. In fact, we're going to get somebody from MindTouch to speak as well. Aaron couldn't make it, but on January 22nd, I'll talk about that event later. But anyway, yeah, it was kind of fun to get back to Defrag. It was my ninth one in a row.
Yeah.
It's been a recurring treat to go to this thing every year. That you guys would be interested in the opening keynote, and Steve would, I think, because you're kind of into reading science fiction, aren't you, Steve?
Both movies and books, tell me about this guy.
Yeah, so the opening keynoter was Ramez Nam, who's a technologist and science fiction writer in state of Washington. And his series of books is called the Nexus Trilogy. The first one is actually copyright 2013, the Nexus book. And the description on the back, well, first of all, he's been called the only serious successor to Michael Crichton. So that's pretty high praise. But on the back of the book, we got a free copy. Mankind gets an upgrade. In the near future, the experimental nano drug Nexus can cause humans to link together, mind to mind. There are some who want to improve it. There are some who want to eradicate it. And there are others who just want to exploit it. When a young scientist is caught improving Nexus, he's thrust way over his head into a world of danger and international espionage, for there is far more at stake than anyone realizes. Ooh, ooh. And it's the joint winner of the Prometheus Award in 2014 and shortlisted for the Arthur C. Clarke Award. So anyway, it was he was fascinating, gave a talk about some of the real-world stuff going on in brain research. That was pretty amazing. He may have posted his slides on SlideShare. I'm not sure about that, but it would be worth taking a look. I can try to find it.
When did they post? Do they post videos of these keynotes?
No, but okay. Most of the speakers do post their slides. My friend Aaron Fulkerson did post his on his talk. So let me see if I can find if Ramez posted his slides on brain research.
Well, I put a link in the show notes just now to his website, which has his books, but also if you scroll down, it has. Are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Yeah.
All of a sudden it cut out again. Anyway, I put some links in there to some recent videos of his.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a great guy, very friendly, hung around during the show, which is nice to go to a conference where the speakers actually hang so you can network with them. You know, they don't just give their talk and leave. So, yeah.
So he's ex-Microsoft guy, huh?
Yep. Yep. And I think he's affiliated with the University of Washington in some way. So, yeah, anybody that's into science fiction, there's a good tip for you.
Excellent.
So it was a great event. I, you know, quick 2 days and out. And a little something for everybody. Drones, mHealth, you know, brain research, a lot of stuff on brain, you know, innovation, you know, innovations in brain research. There was more than one speaker on that topic. So yeah, pretty eclectic, to say the least. A lot on cloud and infrastructure and APIs, and, you know, just a ton of stuff crammed into 2 days.
Are you cleaning your microphone right now?
No,
I was going to ask Phil what he was doing.
I had a piece of paper up in front of my
Yeah, I was trying to think what was going on there.
I
was like, No, it's not me. I think somebody was. I don't know.
No, I think it's Graham's headset. I think you're just rubbing your mic.
Somebody was building a nest into our podcast.
Well, let's talk about other tech news, guys.
No, you talk about Apple news. You don't want to talk about other tech news.
Yeah, you gotta have the Apple block.
There's some good stuff in there. Well, yeah, the iPad Pro.
So did you get one, Steve?
No. I mean, what am I going to do with an enormous iPad?
You can serve drinks on it. You can have breakfast in bed on it. You can have all sorts of things. I mean, it'd be what a wonderful serving tray.
You know, if I was going
to
go on.
I'm surprised with Mossberg's review, and he also on his podcast, which I listened to yesterday, he talked about it in more detail. He likes it, but it's really not for him. It sounds like he likes his iPad Mini the most of all of them.
Yeah.
Well, he's getting old. He can't lift that much.
Right. Well, but the other thing, too, is that, you know, I will continue to come back to the fact that I could do 10x what I can do on a tablet with a laptop. Yeah. And I'm really, you know, more attracted to that super thin new MacBook than I am getting an iPad Pro. Because as much as the iPad Pro does, there is still incredible number of workarounds you've got to do to be able to accomplish certain tasks, you know, and the siloing of each app and its files and all of that, which I totally and completely understand from a security standpoint and applaud it, it's a barrier.
Well, the real bummer is if you're an artist, which I would think that, you know, this new Pro is really, you know, a nice addition to your toolkit. Right. You can't get the pencil for another month, apparently.
Yeah, well, they're sold out. Yeah.
Really?
Huh. Yeah, so if you go to the store to get one today, no pencil for you.
No pencil for you.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, too, is, you know, they didn't announce this, but it's a rumor about Apple developing a new personal payment plan, and they're apparently going to do it through messages.
Yeah. It'd be a lot easier to counterfeit money now, I think.
Well, I found this to be, I mean, this is part of the Tim Cook tour of Europe. And he made some comments about it in the during the week, and he's like saying things like your grandkids won't know what money is. That's kind of scary, actually, in a kind of a funny way, you know.
Yeah. Well, unless we have
what happens if there's a glitch and someone takes all your money away? Now you have no fallback. It's like, oh, it's gone.
Well, that's happened with Bitcoin.
Yeah, so. I know.
A lot easier to put your phone under your mattress. So.
Well, I'm buying only gold Cougarants now.
Okay.
That's what I have in my bed.
Speaking of Bitcoin, whatever happened to Bitcoin?
I don't know. It's still there.
Oh, it's still around. Yeah, it's, well, and not only that, but the blockchain that verifies transactions is being embraced by all kinds of different market spaces. In fact, Wall Street's looking at it for trading sorts of things. And all.
Haven't heard a word about it for a month.
Yeah. Right. Apple TV buyers are overwhelmingly male.
There's the revelation. Holy crap.
What was your reason to flip this one into the flip book, Steve?
Just because I thought it was interesting that even though Best Buy has come out publicly with statistics on women not only driving purchases for the home, but also influencing purchases for the home, that women don't seem to be high on actually buying this Apple TV. But, you know, I mean, but here's what I mean.
Technology, I mean, these are gadgets, these are geeky things that
that's what exactly.
This is a guy thing. This is clearly a guy thing. So.
Well, and it's
really
it's, Apple oh, TV, sure.
I think so. Except my daughter, who they had a deal at Best Buy where she could buy some 4K TV for some ridiculously low price. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. Here's what you need to understand about 4K. Your HD streams right now are about 3 gigabits per second, or 3 gigabits per hour. And 4K is 10 to 14 gigabits per hour in terms of streaming. And so, A, your roommates are going to be really pissed off at you if you slam the router. And B, Comcast is putting in caps now because they've got Comcast. And so if you have a 300 gigabyte per month cap on there, for every 50 gigs you go over, you got to pay $10 more a month.
So how did we get from Apple TV to that? I'm sorry.
It's about women. So anyway, because I was getting to it. So she goes out and buys the new Apple TV, mainly because I was singing its praises, and is going wild about it. Just absolutely loves it. And she hooked the whole thing up. And I've always done it for her in the past, but of course now I'm not over there. And she's says, I'm not going to wait for you to show up on the weekend. So
did you buy it for her?
No, she bought it. And yeah, so she's loving the thing. And you know what? I have to tell you, I've been buying games like crazy and I'm not a gamer. Mm. So it's,
what are you doing with them?
Well, I'm playing them. There's a couple.
There are a couple
that are too hard. So Alex has been down teaching me, but anyway. So I see that you put in a new smartwatch, Tim.
Yeah, the Tag Heuer.
Well, I got to tell you, this is probably one of the most attractive. I love their watch line.
Yep.
It's probably
a Tag Heuer or a Tag Heuer.
Whatever.
It's probably the latter.
I'm in the tomato camp. You're in the tomato camp.
It's like me saying Hua instead of Huawei.
Huawei, yeah. Right.
And you guys going, no, Steve, that's not how you pronounce it.
Yeah, this is a drop dead gorgeous watch.
It's really, really nice looking.
And it's not as expensive as your average Tag Heuer. It's
$1,500.
But, and they'll give you credit for it in 2 years.
Yeah, well, yeah, but you have to plop down another $1,500 on top of it to get a mechanical watch if you want to go back to that.
Right.
So yeah, I looked at that and I thought, well, they're expecting to get 2 years out of this bad boy. That's it. I don't buy something for $1,500 and only expect 2 years of service out of it.
So, yeah. Well, my biggest thing with it is that it's, they don't talk at all in there about, you know, upgrades, software upgrades, and also the sorts of things that can be delivered via it.
It's a platform. It's Android Wear.
So
whenever Google pushes an upgrade to Android Wear,
it upgrades
it.
Yeah,
because it's connected to the Android Wear app that runs on your phone.
Yeah,
cool. Which is either iOS or Android now.
Really?
Yeah, so you can actually use it on your iPhone.
Interesting.
So you guys hear about this? Did you hear about this thing that Alibaba is doing, which is like the
11/11?
The 11, which is,
I didn't hear about this. What is it?
Singles Day. It's called Singles Day. Yeah. It's encourages singles to buy stuff online, and they do big, you know, $5 billion in sales in like the first 90 minutes of the day.
Yep.
So Alibaba is like the Amazon of what?
China.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Steve, you should actually go on there. There's some really crazy Android smartphones there for, you know, ridiculously cheap prices.
Really?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. There's.
So I can actually buy through this?
Oh, yeah.
I thought you had to be a Chinese resident.
No, it's all in English and the whole thing. But it's a crazy selection, though.
I will go on there.
Yeah, no. If you're interested in like cheap Android phones from China, if that's the place to go.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting. And there were some good deals on 11/11. I didn't pull the trigger on anything, but I kind of looked around. It was interesting.
Yep. Well, who
knows what the quality's like.
Well, if you buy it from an established brand, I think it's probably all right. It's unlikely they'll do anything bad, but. Then you also stuck something in here from Marketing Land, the website, that there's a study about retailers are ignoring more than 80% of customers' social media requests.
Well, you knew that was going to happen.
Well, yeah, that's not surprising. This is one of Graham's stories that he put in Flipboard.
Okay.
So I don't know, maybe he has something to add to it, but it's not surprising since, you know, everybody is a customer of a retailer and it's very easy to tweet whatever you want. So there's lots of noise out there in social media about retailers.
Well, and I remember that conversation that my wife and I had with Ron Johnson at the Southdale store in Edina, the Apple store, when he was running Apple stores. And he asked me, so what would you change? And I said, well, everything I get from Apple is generic. It'd be nice if it was, you know, personalized and contextual based on what I own and so on. And then also be able to connect up with social media. And his punchline was, it doesn't scale. We cannot hire enough human beings, or we can't do enough things virtually to respond to millions of daily requests. It just can't happen.
Yep.
And so that's why this didn't surprise me one iota. So,
yeah. Well, that's sort of interesting that his new startup is, you know, concierge for gadgets, basically.
Right.
That doesn't scale either.
Right. True. True.
He's hired a whole bunch and he's got 10,000 more that want to be, employees of Enjoy, it's called. So he's getting into some pretty big numbers. We'll see how he does this holiday season, but it's a pretty cool service.
Yep.
And I ran into another company that's taken advantage of it this Christmas, which I'll tell you about when we get to my cool thing of the week.
Yeah,
great. There excellent.
Okay.
Well, and then there was, I thought this was a big story that Google will be going forward now, giving you a warning when an email has arrived over an unencrypted connection. So if there's a unencrypted, somebody sends it from a server that, you know, doesn't have end-to-end encryption like Gmail does, it'll flag it. And I thought this was really interesting because there are people that I know that only send sensitive business information back and forth via Google Apps because it's, you know, it's end-to-end encrypted and it's server-to-server encrypted. And they're only sending it to somebody with a Gmail account or to another Google Apps account. And I wonder if this is A, going to drive more business for Google on Google Apps, but also it's going to really embarrass all these other organizations that don't encrypt email. And hopefully that'll move things along. Do you think?
It'll ghettoize that, so I'm sure that, you know, it will change behavior.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Well, and then there was one more big announcement. I thought it was big only because we're all going to take advantage of it. I know that I am with the new Apple TV. The Bluetooth built into it is phenomenally good, as is the Wi-Fi. But the Bluetooth Special Interest Group just released a press release that Bluetooth technology is going to gain longer range, faster speed, and mesh networking in 2016. So devices connected, they'll be able to talk to each other throughout your house, for example, or throughout your business. And there's going to be a doubling of speed without increasing energy consumption. The mesh networking, of course, and I'll put a link in there about that. But the range is going to expand from 330 feet to nearly 1,300 feet.
Wow.
And so your Bluetooth technology is going to really, really be useful for driving different devices. In fact, I would hazard to guess that what we'll see is more Bluetooth connectivity than Wi-Fi connectivity for Internet of Things devices. And they're sort of positioning this as a focus on enhancements specifically for the Internet of Things.
So does this also affect the low energy Bluetooth, or is it just the battery draining Bluetooth?
It's Bluetooth overall. It's the new spec.
Ah.
So pretty interesting.
Indeed it is.
Yeah. And speaking of IoT, security matters, of course, especially if you buy something and just plug it into your Internet of Things home automation hub without changing default security settings.
Unleash the hounds.
The horses.
Or the horses.
And the horses.
Steve's security tip of the week.
All right. Okay. Well,
I don't hear any hounds there.
There are no hounds or just horses.
There are no hounds, just horses.
Just horses. Okay. So that's my tip for the week is never, ever connect devices to the internet with their default security settings set. Now, we've seen a whole bunch of routers that are shipped with default security settings, default passwords like admin for the username and password or stuff that they print in the manual. And so people just don't change it. They just plug in the router and they get it going and they get connected and they don't even think about it. Well, Brian Krebs, our target released guy that broke the story about the Target breach last year. Was it last year? No. 2 years ago now, right? Mm-hmm. Or was it last Christmas?
God, I can't remember.
I can't remember.
Now. Seems like no, 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
2 years ago. Yeah.
Let's not get hung up on that.
Let's not get hung up. So he did this post, and it was really interesting about, it's called The Lingering Mess from Default Insecurity. And he goes through and talks about that specific router from Ubiquiti that attackers are now using for botnets, you know, where they can go out and do denial of service attacks on other websites and so on. But he goes on and on about all these different connected devices that all have the default passwords and how you just simply should not ever do that. Specifically, if you're connecting, you know, home automation, especially cameras and baby monitors and things of that nature, password protect them. So that's my tip.
Yay.
Yay.
Yay. Yay.
Nice.
So let's chat about cool. I love this cool things of the week. This is probably my, I know I've said it many, many times, but it's probably one of my favorite ones. And I think, Graham, I think you should go first today.
Ooh, oh, okay. Graham. Yeah, I've already teased, so now I got to talk about it. Okay, Boosted Boards, the world's most advanced electric skateboards. These things are cool. Huh. And I met up with my buddy, Robbie Jack, who joined the startup in Mountain View as their growth marketer. And this is the company that we'll be using, is already partnered with Ron Johnson's new company, Enjoy, to deliver the product and teach the buyer how to use it. So
by riding these boards around the city?
What's that?
By riding these boards around the city?
Well, you know, you don't just want to jump on an electric skateboard without a little training. Yeah. So that's really what, this is being called the Tesla of last mile vehicles. You know, this is, Segways are so yesterday, you know, and this is your sort of new way to get around. So it isn't just for, you know, skate punks and surfers, although it's an amazingly great performance kind of a board, but they start up around $1,000, you know, and $1,500 is the better model, but the site, you can hit the site boostedboards.com and read more about it. But I bet you, well, they're already doing very well, and I'll bet you they're going to have quite a good holiday season. So the growth marketer fellow that I know, Robbie Jack, hopefully I'm going to get him here to speak about how he's managed their their growth so far from a marketing standpoint, and all the analytics he can talk about as far as how this thing's come on so strong and taken off, if you will. So does this make the
longboard that hipsters use now more accessible for older hipsters that don't want to work that hard?
Well, yeah, exactly.
I would have killed for one of these though when I was going to the U of M.
You gotta have a scooter there, dude.
Well, yeah, but they didn't have scooters when I was in college. But
they have steam scooters of some kind.
Yeah, right.
Coal fired or
yeah.
They just weren't big, you know. Like they are now.
But. Yeah, and I didn't have enough money to be able to have somebody carry me around. So,
well, yeah, and the price of this compared to a scooter is quite a bit less. You know, I mean, it's and a hell of a lot less than a Segway. So yeah, they're pretty cool. I like them, and they're built in the U.S. of A. You know, increasingly, I think as they get into higher volume, they'll be getting a lot of their assembly done. You know, in Asia, but the decks are actually made right in Mountain View, which I found interesting. Huh. You know, in high-tech Silicon Valley, they're making skateboard decks? Okay.
Oh, sure.
Wow. Interesting. Tim. Look at
boosted boards.
Tim, what's yours, buddy?
Well, you know that I don't have a smartwatch. I have a dumb watch that is analog and is piece of jewelry, and there's a new product that's called Chronos, which is available for pre-order, which tries to bridge the gap between smartwatch and an old dumb watch. It's basically a metal back that holds a bunch of sensors and a battery, and you're able to link it to currently your iOS, but they say they're making an Android version too, and it basically sticks on the back of your current watch. And it has a vibration engine in it, apparently for notifications. It obviously doesn't have a screen, but it delivers the fitness tracking and all of the other kinds of things that you get with your fitness band or your Apple Watch, but for those of us that have just regular old watches. And if you're into it, they've sold out of their pre-order early bird, but they have what they call the Night Owl Special, which is only $89. And when this goes on sale early next year, it'll be $129. I'm seriously considering getting one.
Looks very interesting, actually.
It does interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know. Does it defeat the purpose of the smartwatch, though, of not having the ability to see it on the screen?
I don't know. The article I linked to is from Bloomberg, and this guy that wrote it, tried it out and said it's surprisingly good. And they have built in eight different vibration patterns, similar to what the Apple Watch does. And I guess you're able to with their app, choose whatever the vibration pattern you want for specific apps or people. So I think it could be quite useful. I have to say that I've got a Fitbit Charge, and that has caller notification in it and alarms in it. And I find it just that to be quite useful. Someone's calling, I get a notification, a vibration, I look on this little bitty screen and it tells me who it is before I reach for my phone. And for me, that's quite a bit of the utility of a smartwatch. And I'm sure that Chronos would also, be useful.
Interesting.
Certainly a kind of a low-tech solution to a problem that some of us have.
Well, or some of us who have really nice watches that we would like to have be smarter.
There you go.
Like a high-end TAG, for example.
You have one of those?
No. Oh. I almost bought one at one point, though. It was like $3,500, and I just said, I'm sorry. I just can't buy a watch that costs that much. I just wouldn't use it, And I know it's jewelry, but still, it seemed like a lot of dough. If I had Graham's money, I probably would.
Yeah, probably.
But Phil, what's yours, buddy?
New from BuzzFeed. We released a new app over the last week.
Really? From your shop or from somewhere else?
Yeah. Well, partly, obviously we're pretty much working with everybody around the world, but yeah, it's part of our team was involved in it, but it's called Quiz Chat. It's a chance to share quizzes between two people, find out, you know, between you and a friend or you and whoever you share with, who would win the Hunger Games or, you know, that sort of thing. So fun quizzes that are meant to be shared.
Huh.
We also interface with the Facebook Messenger. This comes out of our experimental apps team. So it's very much like the Cute or Not app that we released not too long ago. And just trying to see what makes people share things. And
this
quizzes
actually
have always been very big for the BuzzFeeders. So.
And this is actually very clever.
Thank
it
you.
Really, it really is. I mean,
wasn't my idea, but thank you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's well,
of
especially
course,
to use
yeah.
Facebook Messenger or be able to use
text messaging. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. Of course, so, it might be nice to be able to do both.
Well, you could. Yes,
but
I suppose you could.
Yeah.
So check it out. It's called Quiz Chat, now available on iOS and Android. Our first tandem release. So
sweet.
Check it out.
We will. Mm-hmm. And I think it's Katniss, by the way. Spoiler alert.
Katniss?
Yeah.
No, it's between you and whoever would like.
Oh, okay.
Would I win the Hunger Games or would you win the Hunger Games?
Oh, I think Katniss will, actually.
No, it's between the two people. Unless you happen to have, Jennifer Lawrence's text message.
Right.
Yeah.
It's you, Jennifer.
It's you. I just concede.
All right, Steve.
Well, so mine is that, you know, there already are 64-bit browsers out or 64-bit iterations of browsers. But the one thing that I have been interested in is I've gone back to Chrome from Firefox.
Yeah.
And there are some things that I miss on Firefox. And I use the Safari browser. I basically clear history, and that's my quote-unquote virgin browser, so I can always go in and look at things not logged in and, you know, when we're doing site design and so forth. Well, so I've been looking for something that is as fast as Safari, because Safari just screams. And I found one. It's called WaterFox. And it's actually built on the WebKit engine, and it's essentially Firefox.
Notice it's the opposite of Firefox.
Right. But it is very, very fast. It's a 64-bit browser, so you need, you know, the ability to run that, and they've got info on there for you to make sure you can run it. But I really like it, so I just thought I'd throw that in.
And they've really got a very cool interactive header that you can play with for a while too, if you want.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, there you go.
So if you need an alternative browser,
there you have
that's
it.
One.
There you go.
I've been loving Opera as well, but I'm not going to go there right now. So there it is.
All right. Kate, coming up this week is MobCon. So that's happening.
That's right.
What else is going on? Ignite is this week.
Ignite is, it is this week. Sorry. The date got moved from November 9th to the 18th.
Okay.
And,
there you have it.
So, yeah.
Wow.
Right.
I got it.
Adding something.
Yes. Yeah. I got a new one that's, I'm actually going to skip MobCon to go up to Duluth. For the first Club E event.
That's
up there.
Cool.
Yeah, nice. It's there's a guy that's going to be running Club E up there named Craig Simonson, who's an amazing young entrepreneur that has taken on the role of Club E in Duluth, and they're doing it at this amazing old business club called the Kichigami Club. Have you heard about this place? It's like the oldest continuously operating club in Minnesota. Huh. I mean, it's older than the Minneapolis Club, where the Clubby in our town is held. And then, you know, the University Club in St. Paul, they've started doing meetings over there too. So this one will be 11 to 2 at the Kichigami Club. And I'm gonna actually skip MobCon to go up and catch this one.
Huh.
It's probably cheaper.
Well, you know, I got the press pass, which I'm not. Are you guys going to MobCon?
I'm doing a presentation there. There. So, but also new this week is Minneapolis, right? So you put that in there? Is that
well, yes.
End of January? Yeah.
That's January 22nd.
Right.
And we're going to have the leading voice in marketing tech in the country. Scott Brinker will be our keynoter from Boston. He's a guy that's known as Chief MarTech, runs a blog, and runs the MarTech Conference. So, and has a new book coming out called Hacking Marketing. So that'll be fun. And we'll have upwards of 20 other speakers as well. So, yeah, and we just officially announced that on the minianalytics.org website, because I am a board member, and that's why I'm talking about it. So there you go.
There you go.
All right. So lots going on, lots coming up this week, and we'll talk about it next week on
the Minivate Gang Podcast.
Yes, sir.
Take care,
guys. Have a good week.